and King. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Next song will be Humble Yourself. Following this song, we'll have our prayer.
This is number 745.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, when we think about you and we think about your miraculous wonders and deeds that you have done in creating this place, but also, Lord, when we think about the sacrifice of your Son and the things that you have done to pursue us, a sinful people, Lord, how can we not humble ourselves? Lord, your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are so far above ours. Lord, thank you for loving us. We pray that through this time, as we're all gathered together here as brothers and sisters in Christ, that you will use this time to mold our hearts and shape our character so that we can be more like you and that we can learn to become pleasing servants to you. Lord, please bless each one of us today. And we pray an especial blessings on our mothers, that you would help them to continue to be the vital parts they are to our families And Lord, that you would just give them your special blessings today. Lord, we give you thanks and glory and honor, and we ask that you would bless us during this service. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You know, this one's not in the book. We're going to sing Still. We're going to give it a try. I hope you got a chance to hear it this week. Hope we have lyrics, because that's going to be awkward. Ah, excellent. In your hymn book at this time, if you want to mark number 948, the song following the sermon this morning will be 948, I Am Resolved. Before the lesson and the scripture reading, we'll sing number 875. If you're using a book, this is Home of the Soul. And if you would, let's stand as we sing. We'll sing all three verses. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to us will be given on the eternal shore. Oh, my.
Now it's time to take the children to the children's claim class if you're taking them there. I would read in Matthew 2, verses 16 to 18, the English Standard Version. Matthew 2, 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel, weeping for her children, she refused to be comforted because they are no more.
A lot of you have been watching the skies the last couple of nights, right? How many of you saw the northern lights with your own eyes in the sky? Any of you see them? Oh, wow. A smattering. I didn't see it. But what a sight that would be, right? To be able to see the northern lights. Some of you have lived in places where you saw them maybe routinely and you got tired of it. But what a beautiful sight that must be. But it makes me think of another sight that we'll see in the sky one day, and that's Jesus Christ coming again. That will be amazing. And you'll say, well, we've never seen anything like that. No, it's never happened. When he came the first time, he entered the way we enter, by birth. But the second time, Jesus will come in the clouds, in the sky, and it will just be awesome. So what a great day. And I hope when you look in the sky, whether it be tonight, maybe there's a chance tonight you could see it, or whether it be for whatever reason, think about one day we're going to see something in the sky that's never been seen before, and we will praise God and shout hallelujah because that means our redemption has come. It's so good to see you with us this morning. We're glad that you are here. All of you visitors as well as regular members, and I hope you'll come back and join us anytime. Members, we expect that. Visitors, we would love that. And all of you joining us online, we're happy that you have joined us as well and hope that you'll come and join us sometime in person if that be possible. But we're glad you're with us nonetheless. And may I say to all of you who are mothers today, Happy Mother's Day. I hope you're having a good day so far. And every day is a good day in the sense that, you know, I'm a mother. I have blessings in that way. And I know there's a lot of hardships that come with that as well. We're going to talk about that more in our lesson. But we do hope you feel honored today. We know that you are in a very special place in this world. We depend on you for our lives, and we're so thankful that you're living the life that you're living. So we hope you have a great day. But do encourage you to come back and join us this evening as well at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we'll gather for worship. We're going to gather outside. It's going to be a really nice day from all indications on the weather apps. It'll be about 73 at 6 o'clock. Completely clear skies, I'm told. So bring your chairs, blankets, grab a chair from the fellowship area. And let's enjoy worshiping God outside, and it will be wonderful. It's wonderful inside, but there's something special about doing it outside. And so if you've not been to one of these yet, I urge you to come and just see what it's like, and you'll probably be back for more. We'll do it as often as we can, but it's good, and it's my only way of being an outstanding preacher, so I grab all those opportunities I can. Now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible with you. Let's get into this lesson from God's Word. And by the way, don't forget, before you leave today, look around and greet somebody. Give them a smile, give them a handshake, a hug, whatever's appropriate, and just let them know. It is so good to see you. We're glad you're here. And that encourages all of us to hear that kind of thing. It's not been quite a week when we first heard the word, which was astonishing. The reigning Miss USA had submitted her resignation. That's never happened before. I think it goes back to the 1950s when Miss USA pageant began. And in all of those years, there's never been one that said, I'm giving it up, I don't want this anymore. And as we read on, there were reasons. And we don't know the full story of it yet, may never know the full story, but stress and effects, negative effects on the health of this person, they were all involved. And then a couple of days later, Miss Teen USA did the same thing. She submitted her resignation and said, no more. And that's understandable. I think it's praiseworthy in a sense. If you're involved in something that is having a negative impact on your well-being, whether it be physical or mental or emotional or whatever it may be time to step back and take first things first. And so in that way, I think they are to be commended for doing what they did, if indeed it was for that reason. But there's a lot of people with us this morning that know something about stress and negative effects of their responsibilities, and that's mothers. Mothers very well know, and I mean even mothers that are, you know, doing really well, you might say, even they have their moments when life is just so stressful and things did not happen the way they wanted them to. Where do you go to resign? Well, it doesn't happen. I mean, some mothers do look for ways to escape, and they do very harmful things to themselves and to others. But those who are really mothers and know their responsibilities know, I just have to do this, even though it has all of these burdens and responsibilities. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today, because as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want us to look at an example in the Bible that talks about this, the tears of Rachel. And it will remind us that mothers need more than just one day a year of a nice card and a bouquet. They need daily support and encouragement and prayers. And let's think of it in that way. Not just this one day, we're here for you, mothers, but we're going to try this year, every day, to do all we can to encourage you, because that's the example we have in the Word of God. So let's open up our Bibles. Hope you've got your Bible with you. Turn to the passages that you'll see listed on the screen. I'll try to give you time to get there before I start reading them. And that way you can see whether or not I'm telling you the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God, let's do it. Let's follow what He has taught us in this Word. Now let's talk about Rachel's tears and how they were born of frequent stress. Rachel's tears born of frequent stress. The passage that Josh just read for us in Matthew chapter 2, we've heard this a number of times. It is one of those horrible things that happened in the days of Jesus and his earliest days. You remember how Herod heard, oh, there's a king been born. The wise men came and said, we're looking for the king that was just born. And this man was so horrible. He was well known for his brutality, his cruelty. Even Caesar said, I would rather be Herod's pig than his child, because his children were often bumped off, to put it mildly. And so Herod is going to protect his power any way possible. And so he tries to find out through the wise man, where is this child? They don't come back. They've been warned by an angel of God not to go back the way they came. And now Herod is enraged. And he says, I'm going to go to Bethlehem. And just to make sure I've got that child, even though we don't know who it is, we're going to kill all the male children ages 2 and younger. I can't imagine the horrible scene that was, the shrieking and moaning and wailing that went on that day, and the heartbreaking tragedy that every mother and many people in that day witnessed. But that's what we're going to read about here in Matthew chapter 2. And now let's notice verses 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18 of Matthew 2. Then was fulfilled, and he's talking about the slaughter of the innocents, as we call it. Then was fulfilled with what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel, weeping for her children, she refused to be comforted because they are no more. And so this was a fulfillment of a prophecy, Matthew tells us. And Jeremiah had indeed spoken those words in Jeremiah chapter 31 in talking about the children of Israel being taken away into exile by the Babylonians. And there again, Rachel's imagery was called to mind. She is watching all of her children, all of her people being carried away into bondage. Will they ever come back again? And thus the tears of Rachel then as well. D.A. Carson, in his comments on this passage, says double typology is at work with this quotation of Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Jeremiah had already likened the mothers in Israel who mourned over the loss of their sons at the time of the Babylonian exile to Rachel weeping for her children. Matthew sees the same pattern repeating itself with the Bethlehem mothers' laments. And most of us know who Rachel is. If we've done any Bible study at all, this was the wife of Jacob. And Jacob, of course, was renamed Israel by God. And she was the mother of two of his sons. And so here she is weeping for the children of Israel, for the children of Jacob. And we know those stories back in Genesis, but when do we ever read of Rachel weeping? I mean, that's what Jeremiah said, and that's what Matthew says that Jeremiah says. So where do we read about Rachel weeping? Well, let's look at that. I think we can understand where that comes from as we look at a few events in Rachel's life. So now let's turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, verse 20. And this is at the time of the meeting of Jacob and Rachel. He has had to flee from his home. His brother Esau has vowed to kill him for stealing the birthright. And so Jacob is going to a strange land. He's coming to his mother's brother's home, Laban. And there he meets this beautiful girl, Rachel, his daughter, Laban's daughter. And Jacob falls in love with her. And here's what it says in Genesis 29, verse 20, after Laban says, "You can have my daughter after you worked 7 years on the farm for me." Well, did he have to think twice about that? We're told Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Can you imagine 7 years seeming like just a few days? And the idea was he loved her that much. Yeah, I'll be glad to work 7 years for you. And so the 7 years are now gone. It's time for the wedding day. And here they're going to be joined together. But no, this sleazy Uncle Laban, he sneaks in his older daughter, Leah, on the wedding night. It's not his daughter, Rachel, at all. And can you imagine how that hit Rachel? This is my wedding night. And my father has taken my sister, who is not as attractive. That's the indication we get in the Bible. She's older than me, and the father's afraid she's not ever going to get married, so I'm going to sneak her in. Can you imagine how that affected Rachel? Well, she was also married to Jacob soon after that, and there goes another 7 years working for Uncle Laban on the farm. But that must have really grieved her greatly. But she's not a mother yet. Leah becomes a mother. Leah becomes a mother four times. Four sons are given to this older sister who was snuck in on the wedding night in Rachel's place. And you can understand the frustration that Rachel is feeling. Listen to what she says in Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1. And Rachel saw that Leah bore Jacob no children. And she envied her sister. She's got four sons now at this point. And she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." And she's blaming Jacob, even though Jacob has fathered four sons by Leah already. That's frustration. And you can imagine there's also been tears with that as well. She's not yet a mother in reality, but in her heart, she wants to be. She wants to be a mother, and therefore she is, you know, saying, "I've got to have a child." Well, God heard her prayers. If you'll go now to Genesis 30 verses 22 through 24, you're going to find what happens eventually. Now, more children have been born to Leah and as well to her handmaid by this time. But listen now to what we find in Genesis 30, verses 22 through 24. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. So now she has this son in her arms, but it's not enough. Your footnote in your Bible may say that Joseph means, may God add, and she says it outright, I want another son. But it's going to be a little while before that becomes reality. Now, if you go with me to chapter 35, Genesis chapter 35, look at verses 17 and 18, and there you'll find that second son now has come. Genesis 35, verses 17 and 18. They're traveling, by the way, at this time. They're moving to another location. And it says, when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, do not fear, for you have another son. And as her soul was departing, and then the writer adds this, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Now, again, if you have footnotes in your Bible, they may say the meaning of that word Benoni is son of my sorrow. Now, why would this be sorrowful? Didn't you want another son? Yes, I wanted another son, but I also realized I'm dying. I will not be here to raise this son. And so I call him son of my sorrow. Jacob stepped in, maybe while she was still alive, and renamed him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, in a way to say, he will be one of my chosen. He will be at my very right hand. But she died at that point, and we learn later she was buried in the vicinity of Bethlehem. So you can understand there why Rachel shed tears. And on this occasion, even though it doesn't say she was weeping, she calls this son of my sorrow. I like this way that Greg Morse has described what went on at that birth as she was dying. As her soul made ready for its unwilling exodus, tears showered the plant just sprouted. She sighs a name, Benoni, son of my sorrow. And then he went on to say, as the blood of Abel continues to speak, Rachel too continues to cry. And so, as you think about Rachel and all that she went through, the heartache of that wedding night when it was not her wedding night after all, and the times that she watched that older sister who was snuck in her place, bearing the children when she could not, and then when she had that second son that she so desired and she knew she was dying, you can understand. Yes, Rachel shed tears. Rachel was absolutely weeping. Mothers typically experience sorrows and tears. If you're a mother, I don't have to tell you that. You know that all too well. The Bible also recognizes that, and we're going to look at that in a bit. But let me first note something that Isadora Duncan once said. Isadora Duncan was somebody I didn't know about. It's not somebody I would hold up as a role model for any of you women today. But she was a mother who experienced great sorrows. She said this, with what price we pay for the glory of motherhood. And she says, there is glory in motherhood, but look at the price that we have to pay. And why did she say that? Well, looking at her story, two of her children died by drowning. Ages 7 and 3, they were in a car with a nanny. The car went into a river and they were all drowned, ages 7 and 3. And then another child that was born after that died shortly after birth. And so no wonder she said, with what price we pay for the glory of motherhood. The Bible talks about other mothers that knew this kind of suffering and heartache. Go with me to Genesis chapter 21 for a moment. Genesis chapter 21, you'll find a woman there named Hagar. Hagar was the handmaid of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Again, we find Sarah is not able to bear children. She says, well, here, take my handmaid and have a child by her. It was a decision she later regretted, not much later, in fact. But eventually, after the child was born, the son, Ishmael, was born, Sarah said, no, I can't have her in the house. Send her away. And God said, do what your wife says. Sometimes God tells us husbands that too. Do what your wife says. But here is Hagar and her young son Ishmael, and they're now out in the wilderness. She has a skin of water, but the water is depleted. And it looks like they're going to die. And the son, being smaller, he's likely to die first. And she says, I cannot bear to watch this. She puts him under a bush and then walks away a distance and sits down. And here's what we read there in Genesis 21, 16 and 17. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and I suspect her weeping as well. It doesn't say that, but no doubt he did. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. And then the very next verse, you read that God provided a well of water. They would live, and Ishmael would become the father of a great nation that would often be very troublesome to Israel. But the point is, God saw her tears. God felt the sorrow and the anguish that she felt. And now God comes to her rescue. Another example is found in Luke chapter 2. You probably already thought about this example. This is Mary, who is now the mother of Jesus, not just another baby. This is God that she has had in her womb and now has been born. And he's just a few days old now when they take him to the temple to be presented, to pay the offering that is demanded of the firstborn. And here, while they are in the temple, this older man comes out. And listen to what Simeon says in part, just a little bit of what he said. And again, Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And so Mary may have been feeling on top of the world at that moment. You know, I've got a child. This is the Son of God. I've born in my womb, and now here he is in my arms. And yet the announcement, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And of course, we know that in Mary's life, there were hardships. There were times that she must have wept. The way her son was treated by many, the way people talked about the circumstances around his birth, the whisperings, the rumors, the gossip. But especially at the cross, this is my child. They have nailed to the cross. This is my son that is dying slowly, agonizingly. And then Jesus, we're told in John 19, verses 26 and 27, he saw Mary and provided. Listen to what John says, John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. I don't think he's saying there, look at me. I think he's saying, look at him, because he goes on in the next verse. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. What does he mean by that? That's not really this disciple's mother, probably John. But it goes on to tell us, from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Here is Mary in great need of comfort and care. And Jesus has provided just that. So did Jesus see his mother weeping? Absolutely. Did he provide what she needed? Yes. And again, you see, God notices those things. And so these three mothers that we've talked about, Rachel, Hagar, and Mary, all of them demonstrate what all of you who are mothers know very well. Our lives are typical in that we have sorrows and tears many times for things that we would never have imagined as we were thinking about becoming a mother, and yet here they are upon us. But the important thing is that God sees, God provides. Psalm 56 and verse 8 was not written about motherhood. It is written by David, we're told, but listen to what we find in that passage. Psalm 56 and verse 8. David said, "You have kept count of my tossings," and that would be the tossing and turning at night when you can't sleep. "You have put my tears in your bottle." Are they not in your book? Now that idea about tears in a bottle, that may be strange to us, but the idea is God sees every one. It is as if he keeps every tear that a mother weeps in a bottle and reminds him of all she's been through. And all of that is written in a book. And it simply means God knows. God knows every moment, every time. And though the world may not know, though you may put up this face while you're out in public, "Everything is good, my family is great," and yet you know there's much more to it than that. God knows, and God is there to provide the help you need. In fact, you might say, dry your tears. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, this is God speaking. Look at the image he chooses to use to show how he comforts his people. Isaiah 66 and verse 13, God said, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." What's God saying there? That he understands what it's like to be a mother? Yes, that's what he's saying. Now, if I said that, you would laugh me down, and you should, because I don't understand what it is to be a mother. But God does. God has the heart of all hearts, and God provides comfort to his people, not just to Israel then, but to his people of all times. Mothers, keep that in mind. And especially keep in my mind that statement in Revelation 21 and verse 4 about the home to which we are traveling. That beautiful place we call heaven, Revelation 21, verse 4. And of all the verses about heaven, this may be the one we cherish the most, because it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." The idea again, God knows what you're going through. And for now, you may be asked to bear that pain. But there's coming a day. God will take care of it. I also thought after I put this lesson together of Isaiah 53, and I believe it's in verse 6, where it says, "He has borne our sorrows." That's Jesus. He carries our sorrows, and one day they will be lifted from us completely. As I was looking for a quote to pay tribute to mothers, I found this by E.M. Forster. I'm not real familiar with his writings, although I know they're very popular writings. And this quote comes from his novel, Howard's End. Many of you may have seen that movie. But listen to what he says here. "I am sure that if the mothers of various nations could meet, there would be no more wars." Doesn't that sound like a good idea? I watch sometimes proceedings at the United Nations, and I always think, what are they doing? I mean, what's coming out of this? They talk a lot, but what's coming of it? I mean, we're still seeing terrible things happen in this world. What if we just ask all of those to vacate the premises and bring in mothers from various nations? They would find a way. to settle the disputes. They would find a way to bring peace upon this earth. And one more quote from the Bible. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. You remember Jesus on that occasion was traveling with a large entourage of disciples and followers, and they encounter another entourage coming the other way, a funeral procession. And this is a widow whose only son has died. Can you imagine what she must be thinking? What do I do now? Who's going to help me now? Where will I find my livelihood? Will I now be a beggar? That was her prospect at that moment. But Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep. Do not weep." But it was much more than saying those words, because Luke goes on to tell us how he raised the son back to life, and thus there was no reason to weep anymore. And today when I tell you that the Lord sees your tears, you may be thinking, well, good, how does that help me? In the same way that it helped this widow. In her case, it helped very quickly. Jesus very quickly raised her son from the dead and provided him back to her. In your case, it may be a while. It may be for the rest of your life. But if you're faithful, if you continue trusting in the Lord, those tears will be dried and your joy will be full. Mothers, we know your role is demanding, more demanding than any of us can imagine who are not mothers. And we know you have tears even though you try to hide them. May God bless you. You are doing such a wonderful thing. And we pray that God will bless you richly. This morning, if you're not a child of God, don't you see God provides the answers? He provides the direction in life. He gives us everything we need. And if you're not a child of God this morning, why don't you accept the invitation? The invitation that has been given throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament, when Jesus gives his life on the cross, and then Peter proclaims on the day of Pentecost, "You killed him, but now if you believe in him enough to say, what do we do?" As those people did on that occasion, "Now repent. Turn away from those sins. Leave them behind. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why would we want to do that? For the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That has not changed throughout time. Nothing in the Bible says that was one time only. It is rather the command for all times. And if you do not obey the gospel today, we urge you to do just that. And if you've done that and yet you have wandered away, you're now off the path, come back to the path. Come back repenting of whatever sins you may have committed. Ask God for forgiveness as an erring child of God. And he will forgive you. And we'll be here to pray with you and encourage you. Can we help? If so, come as we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things that allure my sight. Our wisdom, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, let us pray.
We're always happy to let you know about people that want to be part of our family here who have come our way, and that's what we're able to do again this morning. We've done it a couple of times recently. Let's do it again. This morning, we're happy to introduce you to the Donnells. That would be Marielle and Chris, and they have recently moved here along with Marielle's sister, Lydia. I'm sorry. I should have written it down like it was suggested. You can ask Lydia what her last name, Klotzman? Is that right? Okay, very good. They moved here from South Dakota just a few weeks ago. They have been with us in worship several times since then. We're here on Wednesday night as well. And we're just so happy they come to us, you know, with these jobs where you can live anywhere. And they chose us. Isn't that wonderful? We know they're going to love this area. I know you're going to love them. I was able to visit with them earlier, well, last week, and they're just a delightful family. Let me ask Chris and Marielle and Lydia to stand for a moment. Everybody be sure to welcome them and greet them, receive them into the family. And then also I received this prayer request through the attendance tracking portal. Ivy Cunningham submits this. She says, family, friends in Nashville are in great need of our prayers as they struggle with a pregnancy where the outlook is not great. Prayers are appreciated. And so that's what we're going to be doing now as we go to God in prayer. We're going to thank him for the Donnells and also pray for this family in Nashville. Let's bow. Our God and our Father, holy and blessed be your name. Father, you are everything to us. You gave us our lives. You gave us our mothers. And for most of us, those mothers were just what they should have been. They were so giving and loving. And Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us, but especially in the giving of your Son, Jesus. And now thank you for the church that he bought with his blood, for the people that encourage us and help us along the way. And for this church, Father, we thank you especially. And now we're so glad to see Chris and Marielle come our way, as well as Lydia. And Father, we just pray that you will bless them. May they find this area to be just exactly what they hoped it would be and more. And may they find this church to be a home where they can use their talents and just do wonderful things for your kingdom. Father, we also pray for this friend in Nashville of Ivy Cunningham's who has a child that she is expecting and the outlook is not good. Father, we know you can do all things. And we ask if it be not against your will that you can use your power to bring this birth about in a safe and very healthy form. But Father, your will be done. Just bless the family, give them comfort and strength as they go through the days ahead and do whatever you know is right. Thank you for everyone present this morning. We know there are many things on many hearts today. Look on each heart, Father, and whatever the need may be, bless them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, number 383.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And one of the first things he did was he broke the bread, he gave thanks to it, and he said, "This is my body." And we remember Christ, and we remember the shame that he carried for us. And I'm going to read from 1 Peter 2:24. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live by righteousness. By his wounding, you have been healed." The body represents the shame, the humiliation, the suffering that Christ endured for us. And Jesus not only wanted us to think about the suffering in the body, but also his great sacrifice that he had. I'm going to read Luke 22:19 again. It says, "Consider again, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given to you in remembrance of me.'" Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to suffer, to be able to hang upon the cross. His body was given to us. Help us take this bread in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the cup represents the covenant of the new blood. In the following verse, Luke 22:20, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out to you.'" Jesus said the cup is the new covenant of the blood. And we think about the blood, we're not called to think about the suffering, but the initiation that was given us to a new covenant by his blood. The cup represents the new covenant. Jesus telling us to remember the Lord's day as we partake of the fruit of the vine. And we proclaim his death. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11:26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord until he comes." So let us bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus and the new covenant, that we have you as our Father, that he suffered, but he also rolled in the new covenant, and it was his blood. And as we take this fruit of vine, help us to remember this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We also have an opportunity to give back to what the Lord has blessed us with. Bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that all things come from you. All things are given to us to be able to live and to proclaim you and to proclaim your word and to proclaim your Son. We ask that these funds help to spread your word, to be able to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the great opportunity that we've had today to gather together and to worship you and to acknowledge Mother's Day. And Father, we do pray for mothers everywhere. Bless them, Father. Father, thank you as we depart from this building and this service. We pray that we have been uplifted and ready to go and meet another week. Bless us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements to be made. Pick up the communion cups and throw them away as you leave the building. Our evening worship service will be outdoors this afternoon. Bring your own chairs or blankets or both chairs from the fellowship hall. You may also worship from inside your vehicle. Check your email this afternoon for any last-minute information. The elders have noted a drop in using the attendance tracking system, as well as support of the pantry items. We request each week that you attend this tracking system and continue to support the pantry. Another deacon candidate has been named last Sunday morning as Paul Elliott, who is proposed to be head of the new program for the elderly and those who with special needs. You have, if you have comments pro or con about Paul's fitness to serve in this position, please send those to the elders by next Sunday, May the 19th. A woman's retreat will be held this Friday and Saturday, May the 17th. Please register for these events on High Rock Bible Camp website. In addition to the retreat, contact the having an opportunity for the spouse not to, at the retreat, being their child and bring their child and central from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday for fun and fellowship. Our summer quarter for the children's Bible classes will begin the 1st of June, and the sign-up sheets are now on the announcements board in the lobby. Teachers are needed, and several classes are especially needed for Wednesday nights. Two slots are open at the Bible study time on Sunday evening. Speak with Adam Maurer if you have questions, but we do encourage you to take up a teaching job if you haven't already done it. It'd be something good experience for you. Dorcas group will break until June, and Washington the Word will be on break until September. Upcoming events at Central: Digging Deep Ladies Bible Class Discussion Group will meet today at 4 to 5:30. Retired Men's Breakfast has been rescheduled again and will meet Tuesday the 14th. That's this coming Tuesday. Central Redbirds Monthly Luncheon, Tuesday, May the 14th at 11 o'clock. Remember these in prayer. Jan Shepherd continues in Franklin Woods Hospital. And Jimmy Daniels, the father of Molly Daniels, has been told that he has multiple tumors and cannot live long without treatment. Molly asks for our prayers. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, he is able. We are dismissed.